Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, thy whole soul, and thy whole mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We've heard these words over and over again. We know them by heart. We know them as the greatest commandments, as our Lord has given them to us. The love of God and the love of neighbor. But there's one part of the second commandment, the love of neighbor, which perhaps we've overlooked. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Have we ever thought what that actually means? What is our Lord implying? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The implication there is that there must be some kind of proper love of self. I think often we overlook this. We see our life as two options. Either we have that love of self, that selfishness, or we have that hatred of self, which comes with mortification. We follow the lives of the saints and the great mortifications that they did. But it's not that black and white. And in order for us to love others, we have to first appreciate the gift that we have. There has to be an ordered love of self. And if we don't do that, we can't appreciate that love of God, and we can't give it to anybody else. It reminds me of when I first came to this country, almost 4 years ago now, and we had a problem with our boiler at the house, at the church, so I had to find a plumber. And apparently it's very difficult to find a plumber in this country. I don't know why that is. But somebody gave me the name of a plumber. I called him up, and he was very nice, and he said, yes, yes, Father, I'll be there this week. I'll fix your boiler. Fine. I get to the church. Boiler still doesn't work. And this happened two or three times. I don't think it was any maliciousness on the part of the plumber. He just had too much work. And he didn't give himself the time of day to order his day and say, this, I can do this or I can't do that. And this is an image of our own life. Sometimes we do the same thing. We feel like we have to always give, give, give. But we never understand that we also have to receive. So what does this mean? What does this ordered love of self actually mean? Because our Lord is implying this. This isn't something I'm making up. Well, if we look at creation around us, if you go to the ocean, you see the immensity of the ocean, it reminds you of that immensity of God. Or behind us, we hear this stream continually trickling and going down. It reminds us of that infinity of God. And all around us, we have these symbols or this stamp of God in some small way. But the greatest of all of the images of God is man himself. In Genesis, it says that we were made in the image and the likeness of God. And St. Thomas says the image because we can know and we can love as God, and likeness because we receive that very life of God. So we reflect God. But yes, it's in a small way, but it's in a greater way than anything else we can find in creation. And not only that, but God decides and wants to dwell in our hearts. And if we don't have an appreciation of that, then it's like we're working backwards. We're not building on a foundation. I like to think of it as somebody who's building a house, and they buy all these cleaning supplies before they even have a kitchen or a bathroom. You have to have a foundation first, and that foundation is an understanding of who we are and who God has made us. Only after that comes this idea of mortification, This is important, of course, because we don't have this perfect order. We're meant to be ordered to God, but we're always looking for different things. We become too obsessed with pleasures, with things, with ourselves. And we don't order this to God. In other words, this ordered love of self has to always have reference to God. And anything else, too, that we have and that we love. Even husbands and wives have to have a proper order in that love, that it's God first. It's not subjection. So, this mortification helps, it's important, but it's secondary. And St. Paul describes it as subjecting ourselves. So we're trying to bring about this good order. So how do we go about and do this? What are some things that we can do to reorder that life? I always hate giving very practical advice. Because when I give very practical advice, you forget the principle and you only hang on to the practical thing. But for this, I think it's important. Because I think we always overlook this. Because after all, we're traditionalists. We know how the church always was. And so we have to, if we're not feeling pain, we don't have progression. And that's not always true. Mortification is important. But again, we have to have an understanding of who we are. So practical advice, what can we do? The first thing, I think, is we have to give ourselves some time. Think of the parable of the talents. We all know this parable very well. Each man was given a certain talent. One was given one talent, another two talents, another five talents. And the master goes away. And then he comes back, and he asks each of his servants, "What did you do with those talents?" And two of them used the talents and gained more. And one of them buried his underground. And that servant was reprimanded because he buried it. God has given each and every one of us a certain talent, certain talents. And he wants us to use them for his glory. He doesn't want us to bury them. He doesn't want us to forget them. Maybe that talent is something to do with the arts. Maybe it's painting, maybe it's reading, maybe it's learning about something else. But we have to use these things that God has given us. And I know what you're all thinking. I don't have the time, Father. I'm too busy. I have too many kids. I have a job and I'm a wife. Well, how do we always have time to watch that 8-minute YouTube video? There's always time for that. So let's have a bit of discipline. And realize that if there is something that we're attracted towards and that we're good at, God wants us to do that. And it's good for us if we have that proper reference to God. So we need that time for ourselves. And the other thing is we need this time with God. We know that God is calling all of us to a friendship, to a relationship with Him. But do we understand that our relationship with God is unique? It's different than the person standing or sitting next to you. Why? Because you're different. And there's something unique and something, your heart is what God wants. That unique heart is what God wants. That unique love. Of course, not because He needs it, but because He wants that. He wants that friendship. And we have to be convinced of that. It has to be something that drives us, that gets us out of bed, that moves us to pray to Him and to speak to Him. Today, if you had a missal and you were reading the gospel today, it's another parable that our Lord gives us, the parable of the great marriage feast, where the master invites all of his friends to his marriage feast. And one after the other, they have an excuse. One of them got married. One of them had new oxen and he had to try them out. One of them had a farm. All of them had these excuses. And we will always have excuses. It might not be oxen, it might not be that we just got married, but there's always something. But if these people who were invited to the Master's Feast, if they understood that that person wanted them. He didn't want what they could give them. He wanted them, their presence at the feast, at his feast. And God is the same with us. He wants us. And nothing else that we can do can replace that. He wants us, and he wants our time. He wants our friendship. So let's have a little bit of discipline and give that time of day, even if it's only 5 minutes of reading some of the New Testament or from a book, and then spending 5 minutes in prayer with him. At least it's something. How many of us here are actually giving a couple or 5 minutes to God a day? Just speaking to him. I'm not saying those devotions, those litanies that we always say every day. Those are fine and good. But how many of us give him 5 minutes of speaking to him? Let's ask for that grace to do that, especially during this month of the Sacred Heart, where our Lord, we understand, we come to realize who his heart is, and that he wants ours as well. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.